pass deflected by Butler, tries to save it, and it finds its way to Robinson. Down to Butler, and Butler throws it down. It's back to a one-point game. Great defensive play and hustle from Jimmy Butler. Dragic now, five to shoot. Lost it momentarily. Pulls back. Dragic, a three-pointer. Bang! Goran Dragic from downtown. And the Heat lead by five.
Good morning. Welcome to the Daily Ding. Happy Friday morning. We've got all your incredible playoff action from Thursday night in the NBA. I'm Zach Harper. That's Trevon Edwards. That's Dave DeFore. That's Andrew Schlecht. Reminder, don't miss the best deal on the internet. You know those Instagram ads you see where it's like, buy this jacket that no one's ever heard of and we'll never hear of again, and it's like only like $90? This is so much better than that. It's $1 a month for The Athletic. Go to theathletic.com/dailyding. You receive all access subscriptions to The Athletic for $1 a month. You're in the playoffs. We have the best NBA coverage. We got the best football coverage, the best baseball coverage, best hockey coverage, best football coverage, soccer, all that stuff. $1 a month. Theathletic.com/dailyding. The Heat is on, boys. Heat 106, Celtics 101. Miami leads the Eastern Conference Finals 2-0 behind just a ridiculous comeback, a ridiculous effort. Jimmy Butler said after the game that, you know, they don't really feel alive until they're down double digits, and then that's when they start playing. Probably not a great strategy, especially if they end up facing the Denver Nuggets in the next round for the NBA Finals. But, Trey, like, this was something where Bam took over in the third quarter. Goran was amazing in the second half. Jimmy Butler took over in the last 5 minutes defensively and got some buckets. The Heat are 10-1 in the playoffs so far, and that one loss is that, you know, 3-point overtime defeat to the Milwaukee Bucks. Trey, the Heat are just amazing right now. Like, the Heat
are comeback boys are for real.
Woo!
I don't think I ever would have said that ever in my life.
The culture, Trey.
You did tell me. You did tell me about the Heat culture, man. But dude, man, Dragic, man, Dunk, Jimmy, Bam, you can go down the line. Even Jay Crowder, whoever you need to, you know, call upon. Even Tyler Herro, it doesn't matter. These guys are stepping up to the plate. Even when they kind of cooled down, they found and dig through it and found ways to be better, you know, in those situations. And I'm sure in the foxhole, Jimmy's getting after those guys and saying, I need another notch, pick me up. And he was making some damn good deflections down the line too. But that, that top two, 2-3 zone, bro, it was giving problems for the Celtics.
Yeah, Celtics. So John Schumann on NBA.com, Dave, had something that was pretty good about how the Celtics handled that zone in game one. It actually wasn't too bad. I think he said it was like 16 points on 14 possessions, something like that. It could not have been that tonight. They struggled with that zone.
Yeah, and you know what's funny is, I mentioned this before the game over in the briefs on the Athletic app, that the way Miami is zoning up, they're actually zoning out really, really high. They're clearly trying to affect Kemba and Jason Tatum in particular up high, catch them early in the zone, and force them to get rid of the ball. So I expected Boston to come out trying to take advantage of it. We saw that early with those really good Cantor minutes. He was running the floor hard. He actually got a post up on Duncan Robinson, which, you know, that's a bucket right there. Like, it's very easy for them. And then they went away from that. Because Cantor, you can't keep him on the court defensively. Like, you know, Bam can just, you know, run around him pretty much. And so that's kind of unsustainable. The zone tonight really threw him off just because they couldn't play Cantor, who's really their only back-to-the-basket guy. So I just think that it's more about how they couldn't defend with the guy that could affect the offense for them. And that's going to be an issue against Miami. You have to have two-way players because that's what they're bringing out there.
So, Schlecht, I want to ask you this because we've got two competing quotes here that I can't figure out which one I like more right now. One is from a couple weeks ago, maybe a week or two ago, that Sam Amick got from Jimmy Butler, which I know is Jade Hoy's favorite quote, where he said, I'm so fucking locked in right now, and I will do anything it takes to win, man. And he finds a way to put that into the rundown of point of contention every week on the Athletic NBA show. And the other one is coming from Gary Washburn tonight, who tweeted, Marcus Smart is screaming in the Celtics locker room, and there's a bunch of arguing going on. Smart comes out and says, quote, y'all on that bullshit. Team is imploding. Smart is in the bathroom. There's still screaming coming from the locker room. So, Schlecht, which is the better quote right now?
Oh, it's got to be Jimmy. I mean, just that with the big plays that they had tonight, just unbelievable. I mean, that clearly the highlight is that deflection, and then he runs out of bounds and gets it back and dunks it. I mean, it was just, I mean, that was like the, if you were to like embody a play as the Miami Heat, like that was it.
That was when he goes to get that, and first I was like, oh, he's out of bounds, and then the replay showed he's not out of bounds. But as he threw it behind his back, I was like, oh, it's going right to the motherfucker. He got that through. That was my exact like thought, and I'm just talking to myself out loud in my apartment. Like, I guess I'm talking. I could be talking to my dog. I don't know if that makes it any better, but like Trey, like I was just like, there, like everything went right for Jimmy down the stretch.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, man, I was hoping Slack chose y'all on that bullshit though, because that's
okay. Well, let's get into that then, Trey. Let's get into y'all just, on that bullshit, I mean, because that is not what
one
you
way.
Hear.
Marcus Smart's pretty passionate. He's the heart and soul of the Celtics in the locker room, does it all, wins all the 50-50 balls, even stepped up on the offensive end, and really, really, really wants this series. Obviously, there's some bad blood between him and Jimmy Butler that hasn't really kind of spilt over in this series, but he does not want to lose to them. And I don't think that his team is bullshitting. It's that Spo is just fucking coaching his ass off. And when you just think about the adjustments that he's made, whether it's throwing in the zone, whether it's putting the right guys on the floor, you know, the Celtics have to outscore the Heat in the second half in order to just even just be in the ball game. And at this point, man, they're really struggling to do that. And I mean, Jaylen Brown hit some big shots towards the end, but like just costly turnovers and just not wanting it. You know, I mean, Jimmy being able to deflect and guys getting, you know, fast break points and getting those, you know, just buckets, like Dragic making shots. Like you can just go down the line, it's just guys making shots that normally they can't afford to, you know, have those looks be given away. So as long as they continue to want it more, they're going to be the victor of this series.
Dave, 20 turnovers for the Celtics tonight.
I was just about to say, we got to talk about
those turnovers. Like, they are on that bullshit, because that, I mean, that's not a Kemba Walker-led team statistic. He's always had low turnovers, you know, low turnover rates for his teams. That's not a Brad Stevens thing. Mm-hmm. And I don't like, look, some of it was the Heat making plays, but I just thought the Celtics were sloppy.
Well, that's for sure. It's a double-edged sword here. It, you know, you talked about the zone and their ineffectiveness against the zone, where they were trying to make plays against the zone by making passes. But Miami is really selling out in these passing lanes. And it could be dangerous if Boston would make them pay for it, but they're not. Boston's not throwing a ball fake, not an eye fake, not a look away. They're not doing anything to try to fool these guys when they're jumping the passing lanes. This is why Jimmy Butler had so many deflections tonight. I mean, you know, he barely scored. He scored 14 points, six of those from the free throw line. But he affected every single part of this game except for the box score. I mean, he touched so many passes defensively, and all of them did. You know, Bam does a good job of doing that. Even Duncan Robinson, who is considered a weak link in their defense, was jumping passing lanes. And Boston did an awful job of making them pay for it. Again, super sloppy, throwing the ball away. And then the way, like, they were doing it up high. Again, that zone, is they're meeting them very early. And that they just turn into fast break points.
So, all right, what do we do with this Marcus Smart thing? Is this just frustration? Is this something that you worry will lead over into game three if they start teetering a little bit? I know, you know, Trey said Marcus is a very emotional guy. But he's a spark plug for them, obviously. He's kind of their vocal, you know, compass at times. And it's not like he's a guy that rips this team apart by any means, but there's obviously some frustration here with the sloppiness, with giving up that big lead, with now being down 0-2 in the series. Gordon Hayward's going to come back, maybe game three or game four, whenever that's going to be. But now that's like, you know, now you're trying to work someone into the rotation and a pretty significant piece, you know, in the middle of a conference finals, that can be a booster, that can be a distraction. So, like, you know, Schlecht, what do you think that whole dynamic for the Celtics is?
I mean, they got to lean on Tatum, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to go to him. He got 12 shots tonight. And a lot of that, credit to Miami, but 12 shots. Like, you can't, if you're just wondering where they're going to go to, like, it's got to be Tatum. And then I really think that Hayward's going to help. Because if you look at their bench, I mean, who are you relying on off that bench? It's not Shemi Ojeleye.
Shemi Ojeleye coming into the game in the first quarter, right? Like, that tells you all you need to know about the bench.
Romeo Langford coming in.
Hey,
Romeo Langford. What was that?
Romeo Langford, +2. You know? Maybe play him a little bit more, Brad.
But it's just got to be Tatum, right? Yeah. I mean, this is his time. I mean, you can't look at anybody else on that team. I mean, I guess you can look at Kemba, but Kemba, like, Kemba's had his moments, and he certainly had his moments tonight. But down the stretch, I mean, it's just got to be Jason Tatum.
Yeah, Kemba was a lot better in this game. You know, obviously they're still hunting him out on defense, I don't think there's anything the Celtics can do about that, Dave. They're gonna go after him. There's not, like, you can try to minimize it, but if he's, you know, if he's giving you 20 plus points, he's shooting well from deep. He shot much better in this one. I guess, well, not after the first quarter, but he did shoot much better for at least the start of this one. You know, that can be a spark at least for them offensively to kind of even that out.
Yeah, and they need him to provide this kind of offense and truthfully, probably more than this to make up for the defensive issues. But if their backline help is doing its job, Kemba's not a problem. Remember, this is the fourth-ranked defense during the regular season. And they did that with Kemba Walker. So, you know, they can defend. They're just not doing a good job of it. And credit to Miami. They are capitalizing on every single mistake. So I just... You know, we could sit and blame Kemba for the defensive woes. Clearly, he needs to be consistent offensively, and you want to see him protect the ball a little better than he did tonight. But they don't have any other option. They can't put him on the bench and play Hayward because Hayward's not available yet, which I think is going to be – we're going to see that as probably their closing lineup if Hayward gets back.
Wow. Dre, you mentioned Spo. Coaching his fucking ass off right now. It's funny because, like, look, we have 8 points. You know, the Heat are plus 8 in these first two games, right? It's not like they're blowing out the Celtics by any means, but going up 2-0, winning the way they did tonight, you know, the emotional win in game one, it does feel like it, for whatever reason, Trey, like, it feels more lopsided than it actually is, but these are two nail-biter games.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just a mutual respect that we have for these teams. You know what I mean? Like, we know that they both are capable of doing something good, but obviously you don't want to disrespect the one team out of the other and say, like, oh, this is lopsided or that they're going to sweep them. But, man, when you watch the game and you consume the entire game, you can tell which team wants it a little bit more. And if Boston, like, this was Boston's game to win. When they'd be up 15, they should have closed the door. They left the door cracked, and that's all Miami needed. You know, I'm sure whatever Jimmy said to those dudes and whatever Coach Spo made for the adjustments to get the right guys out there, that's all it took. That's all it took. Yeah. And it doesn't, you know, like Jimmy said early on when he first joined them, it's just like, it's just different. The Heat mentality, how guys buy in, nobody's better than the other. And it's the next man up mentality. And I,
the culture,
again,
man.
I can't personally say that I've been on the Heat's bandwagon or just been rooting for them. Obviously, I was, you know, I had the Bucks beating them, and they proved that they belong. It's the same way as the Nuggets, though. They have a grittiness,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Like, as much as they've been disrespected or the teams that are supposed to win aren't really doing the job, it's the teams that we need to be giving the respect to that are putting the work in between those lines.
We talked about that culture thing on Nerder today because, you know, specifically when you look at the Clippers and their lack of chemistry, and part of it is they tried to rebuild on the fly essentially with two stars. And what Jimmy did in Miami I think is special because they had their established culture and he fits into that culture. He just happens to also be a superstar. And that's why it's able to work so fast. It's kind of why Kawhi worked in Toronto so fast, why KD mm-hmm. worked in Golden State. And so similar blueprint, but obviously different mindset as far as the organization goes. And, I mean, they're all as crazy as Jimmy.
Hi, I'm Tass Mellis from No Dunks on The Athletic. As the great philosopher Brian of the Backstreet Boys once said, everybody... Yeah, hydrate your body. Yeah, everybody, hydrate your body right. Hydration's back, all right. We all know we have to stay hydrated. I've used an app, a big water bottle, post-it notes, and proper hydration is extremely important right now. It can really help your immune system. Believe it or not, dehydration occurs daily in 3 out of 4 people. With Liquid IV, you have the fastest, most efficient way to stay hydrated. Each serving helps you get as much hydration as 2 to 3 bottles of water. I like using Liquid IV when I hit that afternoon lull. Instead of grabbing a coffee, I grab one stick of the lemon lime, put it in my water, and I get that energy boost I need without dehydrating my body and getting dry mouth. It's win-win because it contains 5 essential vitamins, more vitamin C than an orange, and as much potassium as a banana. Oh, my mate Lily would love it. It's healthier than sugary sports drinks with no artificial flavors or preservatives and less sugar than an apple. Liquid IV is available nationwide at Costco and Target. Or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code ATHLETIC at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order when you use promo code ATHLETIC at liquidiv.com. Get better hydration today at liquidiv.com, promo code ATHLETIC.
I mean, you look at the stats, just the stats alone. I mean, the Celtics shot 50% from the field tonight. The Heat, 44. I mean, the difference was playing together and grittiness, because the Heat had them turn the ball, the Celtics turn the ball over so many times. And that really, that's the difference in the game, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at everything. I mean, they lost the rebounding battle. They lost the shot battle from three and from the field. And it's just those live ball turnovers. It's points off of turnovers. And it's just their ability to find open shots for the Heat that really got them this win.
Yeah, Miami wound up with, doing the math real quick, 13 extra shooting possessions if you include free throws in there. And, I mean, you know, 5-point game, there's a big difference.
Yeah, I mean, the first half shooting percentage for the Celtics, 58%. Second half, 38%. Like, there you go.
Fell apart. Right? Fell apart. Fell, you know,
well, and it was that third quarter, like, Spo went to pick and roll, and the Celtics just, like, I've never seen a good defense handle a pick and roll so poorly.
It's really odd, honestly, the way that they were defending in the third in
Bam
particular.
Bam had 5 dunks in that quarter.
Bam had 5 dunks. An offensive rebound in
the
fourth.
It's a goddamn drill in practice. Like,
yeah. He had an offensive rebound in the fourth with 4 Celtics standing right. Like, he literally just waltzed right through them, none of them going up for the ball or putting a body on Bam.
I have no
idea. You think this Tice matchup is a wash here?
That's what I've heard. Man, look, I don't know who it was. I would love to know who it was. I would love to know the anonymous scout that told Josh Robbins, and this is no fault of Josh. Josh got the intel. He got the, right? And he's like, this is what scouts are saying. And an anonymous scout said that the Tice-Bam Adebayo matchup is a wash. Daniel Tice is a very good role player. But you are out of your fucking mind if you think at any point they're a wash. And again, not a knock on Tice. Very good role player. Bam is like a franchise big man. Like, what are we doing? Like, am I gonna go there and say, like, in the Nuggets series, like, well, you know, like, Jokic and JaVale.
Right.
Well, all right, JaVale's harsh. Yeah. Jokic and Dwight Howard.
Yeah, that's
still a wash in this series.
Right.
No! Bam had 15 points in the third quarter alone, washing himself in champagne in a couple of weeks.
I don't know, man. Those Nuggets are pretty tough.
Actually, you know what? I low-key want a Nuggets-Heat series now. I really do.
It would probably be one of the more entertaining final series that we've ever gotten.
8 people would watch. Because Trey, that is, look, I don't believe the NBA is going to fix anything. I don't believe that happens.
I don't believe in the whole, listen, we got to get that whole fix stuff out.
It's all Tim Donaghy's fault. It's Tim Donaghy's fault because he's a compulsive liar and a criminal, and he decided to, like, do illegal stuff. And now all of a sudden, this is an NBA thing. Yes, it happened under their watch. They have to suffer for it, but we got to stop saying this shit's fixed. The lottery, that I believe is fixed, Trey. But the games, I don't believe is fixed.
Yeah, I'm not even going to go there, but I'll just say, you know, I have no expectations. I'm not going to count any teams out any longer. If you deserve to be there, you deserve to be there. Also, shout-outs to the WNBA. You know, announcing their awards. They didn't get a chance to get any love on the big stage, so the Athletic can do that. But back to what you're talking about, if the Nuggets make it, great. You know, I know you want to just stir up some controversy and get the Laker Nation heated and cursing us out tomorrow.
Are you kidding me? Those underdog Lakers? I would never.
The We Believe Lakers?
No, I'm not gonna do that.
I mean, I'm selfishly rooting for, you know, Lakers Heat finals, but I'm not mad if, you know, the emergence of Jamal Murray. How weird this year been?
Oh my God.
I won't be surprised with anything right now, dude.
Okay, so
can you imagine though, like you have the chance at Lakers Celtics, but you get Heat Nuggets. It's just unbelievable.
They will guarantee that they will not have a bubble next year if this happens. They're like, nope. Oh, yeah. Just wait no for way. Fans. We're waiting for right. travel. It's entertaining basketball as it's going to be. We
what if,
not
if, what if
that.
They actually, what if it was Denver, Miami, and the ratings were just incredible? You know, like, what if it really defied convention and just everyone except for L.A. and I don't know what other city matters in basketball, but really L.A., but everyone but L.A. tunes in because it's something different.
Yeah, I mean, look, I wouldn't hate that. I want the finals to be watched no matter what. No matter what the matchup is, I want the finals to be watched. But also, let's not get ahead of ourselves because the Bucks were up 2-0 in the conference finals last year, right? They go into a double overtime, game three. They lose, and next thing you know, we're wondering where Giannis is going. So how do the Heat keep carrying this momentum? Because, these are two very close games. These are essentially one-possession games. I know this tonight was by five, but essentially one-possession games.
Yeah, they're close. It's not like they got the doors beat off of them.
Yeah.
It just looks bad because they blew the big lead.
Right.
Similar to the Clippers. With that being said, though, it feels also similar to Nuggets Clippers, where it feels like Miami has them figured out. Mm. And this Marcus Smart blow up in the locker room could wind up being a great thing for Boston, because I thought that they were extremely passive in the second half, in particular defensively. You mentioned Bam getting five dunks. I'm sorry, but that just shouldn't happen in a playoff game, much less a playoff quarter.
Right.
Yeah. So I think they've got to come out. Boston has to come out ready to punch Miami in the mouth in game three. And Miami, we know they can take a punch, but I wonder if they can just put their foot on the gas early and maybe even wrap this up sooner than 5 minutes ago in the fourth. You know, can they show us that they could actually just win the game and just win it the whole time?
The best possible thing about the scheduling of this whole thing is that this thing cannot be wrapped up by Sunday when we record Basketbuds. That's by far the best. I'm
30 seconds into his podcast. Anything is potable. Jay King says to me, I think Miami just sucks.
Wow. Wow. I got to get that drop for.
Yeah.
For
and
I happen to produce that show. I can put that in here.
What a treat that'll be.
Recording. Jay said something interesting to me, and I believe the direct quote was, I think the Heat suck. And so, Jay.
Good Lord.
I'm supposed to be the objective, non-objective one, the partisan Celtics fan. Please explain yourself.
First of all, my next line was the Heat don't actually suck. But
it's true. He did say this.
I don't think they're as good as people think they are right now. I think the Bucks series was the perfect matchup for them. I don't think the Celtics are at all a perfect matchup for them. I think the Celtics will be more equipped to handle the three-point shooters. I think their defensive efficiencies will matter a lot more when Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero, and Goran Dragic are not guarding Dante DiVincenzo and shit.
Jay King is very lucky. We're going to have to do a special episode of Buds.
I'm legitimately worried at how obnoxious I will be. I don't even think I can control it. If the Heat win this, especially if like the Heat sweep or win in five or whatever, right? Or just control the series, and they're up 2-0, so they're halfway there. But if that happened, I may have to ban myself from the pod.
What do we need to see from the Celtics? Like, what do we need to see in game three?
Well, I think you hit it like right on the head. Trey, I'm curious what you think. Like, sure, Tatum went to the line 11 times, but he only took 12 shots. Like, Tatum's got to get up 20, 25 shots.
He does, but he also has to make them. That's the thing. Like, you just, right, yeah. You just can't just be like, all right, just gun, just because you're quote unquote the first option. And it's not that. Like, Kemba stepped up for them. You know, he had been struggling in the series and he picked it up. But it needs to be consistent, straight down the line, like, you know, and they have to make adjustments, and hopefully, you know, the next game they'll be able to do that, you know, with Coach Stevens being able to make those adjustments or introducing a zone buster or something. I don't know what they can possibly do with that, yeah. But like you said, you can't give up on the other end. You can't go bucket for bucket with this team, you know, and like they actually were making shots, and then once you cool down, you know, you still have to get stops as well, you know, and it got to that point where it was very close, and then when you make 20 turnovers is way too much. That's too high.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they're kicking themselves about it, you know, whether the Marcus Smart stuff is true or not. You know what I mean? Like, he got in them, and it's family in-house stuff, and hopefully they respond to him a little bit well. I don't think this team will lay down, and I think they will get a win. I don't think they'll get swept.
Yeah, no, I mean, they're too good to get swept, right?
Right. Yeah, they could still win the series, right?
It feels like
they've got they've been solved by Spoelstra and the Heat. But Brad Stevens is a pretty good coach. They clearly have a lot of talent. So I don't think it's over. I'm with you, Zach. I think that remembering back to just 1 year ago where it felt like the Bucks had a finals berth wrapped up and we were all kind of a little premature feeling that. So clearly Boston, they're at least neck and neck from a talent and ability standpoint. And if you're Boston looking at your stat sheet after this, you have to feel pretty good about a lot of stuff you did. You shot the ball pretty well. You moved the ball really well. You rebounded well. You just didn't protect the ball, and that's the difference in the game. Giving up 26 points off turnovers lost you the game. They comfortably win this game if they don't, you know, if they have half as many turnovers.
Right.
So
yeah, that's true. And I think I don't want to sound like it was lucky or whatever, but they're kind of lucky that Jaylen Brown went off in the fourth, right? Because it could have actually looked a lot uglier down the stretch, but Jaylen Brown kind of, he had that big offensive rebound where he just, mm-hmm. Tyler Hero just bounced like 8 feet off of him in the air. Tyler Hero could not hang with him physically, and then he hit a couple of threes and missed that corner. I actually thought that corner three was going down. I believe what you're saying is true, Dave, but I also kind of think, like, you know, if Jaylen Brown doesn't go off in that flurry there, then maybe it looks uglier, and maybe they feel even worse about it. I don't know.
I mean, but he was kind of bad early, so
yeah,
he just regressed to the mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that, you know, again, Boston played a fine game except for the turnovers, and that really, you know, not that you can key in on just one thing, but that is what killed him in this game. Miami just has out-hustled them. All the steals, all the turnovers they're creating, you know, they're altering shots. They're getting big rebounds when they need them. I mean, they had 11 offensive rebounds in this game.
Yeah.
That's massive. All these second chances, not only second chances, but then the turnovers, right? So you're giving them extra possessions. And Miami, if you're giving them the ball on offense, like that, they can do. They can score. They've had issues defending at points this year. You can't exploit Goran Dragic on the floor if you don't have the basketball in your hands. And so you're just giving them more and more opportunities. And now that, you know, Goran is a top five player in the NBA, apparently.
Right.
You just, you know.
That
25
hit
points
over Tice was ridiculous.
Oh, my God. How did he make that?
That when he hit that, I was like, oh, my God, they're going to win this game.
He turned into Steph Curry.
That was ridiculous.
Yeah, so I think that, you know, your principles are sound. It's just you got to tighten up your execution, and Boston knows that. I think they'll likely take game three. I wouldn't even be shocked if they take game three and four, and we wind up with a real series, you know, going to seven.
Yeah, this is a really good team.
This is
the opposite of how Jay King views the Miami Heat.
Right. This might wind up being a classic playoff series because they're so close. I mean, again, these two games – it's nobody was running away with anything at really any point, because even when the Celtics were up 17, you knew it just would take a couple of Miami offensive possessions that were solid for them to get right back into it. And so I do think Boston probably isn't going to change a ton. I think that they're going to probably limit those Cantor minutes and try to pick their spots when Bam's not on the court and see if they can take advantage of that high zone when they've got a smaller guy who's less of a threat. But I'm curious to see what he does, what Brad Stevens is able to do about his team's effort, in particular on the glass, because that's not going to get it done.
Bam's been the best player in the series, right?
He's been awesome. I think Jimmy Butler still has been.
Yeah, that's probably fair. He was just so bad offensively until the last five minutes.
But he's just doing everything, man. Like, if he's not deflecting a pass, he's rotating to help and forcing the ball out of somebody's hands. You can watch him for the whole game, and it'll just look like he's writing a book. Like, he's the star of this. You know, it's like a Jimmy Butler commercial. Here's all the stuff Jimmy Butler's amazing at. You're not going to see him shoot a lot because he doesn't want to do that, but you're going to see all the other things. Really like a highlight reel for Jimmy Butler.
These Duncan Robinson stat lines are amazing. All of his shots were threes, 6 of 12,
15 points. Have you ever seen a clip where he's done anything else?
No, that's true. I was
going to say, so like, what are we doing
on that play,
here?
On that play where, well, he might get a layup every once in a while, right? Like, he'd get something inside every once in a while. But he, on that play where Jimmy saved it from going out of bounds and it went right to him, and he had basically like a 3-on-1, maybe it was 3-on-2 at that point, and then it became a 4-on-whatever when Jimmy got back and onto the court. But I legitimately thought, oh, he's pulling right here. And then when he passed it to Jimmy, I was like, it's the right play, but it was a little disappointing to me. I really wanted him to take that shot. We need more just irrational. Because he had that moment where he had that Klay Thompson three, basically. He caught the ball mm-hmm. at his chin and just let it fly.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's no dip whatsoever. Ridiculous shot. I don't know if people realize like how hard that is to shoot from that position, to not bring the ball down and come back up with it, to just like, that is literally just a flick of the wrist
on the move too. Yeah. Right. Like, it wasn't like he was just standing still. I mean, he was moving toward the corner when he did that.
Yeah. He was going to his left a little bit.
That guy is a pretty amazing shooter.
I mean, you've been saying it all year. Like, he's maybe the best.
I think he's one of the best three or four shooters in the league. Yeah. Like, let's see what Klay looks like when he comes back. But for right now, my money would be on Duncan Robinson being a better shooter next year than Klay. ACL's tricky for shooters.
It's true. I ain't buying that one.
But you haven't heard the propaganda that Klay's shot looks better than it did before?
I don't know how that.
His dad tweeted that or something. I can't remember where his dad said it. His dad said it somewhere, though. Michael Thompson, shout out to Champ.
I think we wilding on this episode.
Hey, before we go, how do we feel about the Celtics minimizing the Marcus Smart stuff? You have Jason Tatum coming out saying that it was nothing out of the ordinary, just talking about the game. Kimba said, quote, it was nothing. How do we feel about this?
It's not nothing, but it's not really something. I mean, this stuff happens in competitive environments. I've been in plenty of locker rooms where this happened. I'm sure all of us have seen teammates get into arguments. Draymond Green screamed at Steve Kerr at halftime, and that worked out okay. So
right.
I don't take – it's just a guy who's extremely competitive, being upset, feeling like maybe that competition level wasn't matched by his teammates. With that being said, these guys have been together for a long time, so I think they're going to be totally fine. I think they're going to come out game three, and we're not going to have any cowardly basketball being played.
They might kick their ass in game three for all we know.
Yeah.
Like, that might motivate them. Yeah, if it was a team where I worried about – if it was the Celtics last year, I would worry about that.
Sure.
Right? Like, I would worry about that more. I think this team – I think they're, you know, we obviously talk Heat culture because that's their propaganda. But, like, I think the Celtics culture is too strong for that to bother them. I guess, like, tomorrow it will be annoying for them to then have to answer questions about that again, right? Like, mm-hmm. that's a potential distraction. But it's more of an annoyance than, like, oh, this is going to affect how they play. Like, I don't see it being a big deal unless they blow another big lead. Then you might see some stuff like in huddles and everything. But even then, right. that can be motivating, right? Like, that can be can be not.
I mean, plenty of teams come back 0-2. I mean, that's yep. a common occurrence
not
in the NBA
Celtics,
playoffs.
Though. The Celtics, 2-13 all time when they're down 0-2 in a playoff series.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Saw that stat on the old TV 25 minutes ago and just remembered it. 2-13. I'm guessing those two were like... Well, no, Bill Russell probably never went down 0-2, so that's
probably
something for the 50s or 60s, but no, he's always up like 4-0. I think they did nothing but sweep. All right, do we want to give early predictions for game three?
Man, without rewatching this game, just my gut feeling, I think the blow up in the locker room helps them. Again, very, very close to winning both of these games. For Boston, so it's not like they're getting completely schooled. They tighten up the turnovers. I think the defensive intensity goes up. I think they beat Miami probably like double digits.
Trey?
I'm going to say close win, Boston.
Schleck?
Yeah, I'm going Boston. I think if they can get Hayward back, I think just the talent boost alone, like you eliminate the Ojale minutes, you eliminate just the thought of Romeo Langford on the floor. I think that helps. I think that's enough to get them over the hump for game three.
I have Heat culture coursing through my veins. I'm going to Heat course with another close win. I don't know if I believe it, but whatever. I'm not committed at this point. 10-1.
Yeah, exactly. That's the easy move, man.
It's the easy move, right? And then it's like, you know, if not, I'm
well, whatever. You know, Boston caught him. It happens.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, you know, league wasn't going to let them go down 0-3. That, I'll play that card. Actually, that's the move. That's the move right there. Early predictions for Nuggets Lakers game one.
I mean, I think the Nuggets, they're pretty hot right now. LeBron and the Lakers been sitting around. I think Nuggets take game one.
Ooh. Trey?
Man, you know how LeBron rolled, man. It's a research game for my boy. So
it's a feel-out game.
It's
that's
a
right.
feel-out game. You know how they do. They lose the first one, and then they win in five. So you never know. But I'm gonna think they're going to switch it up, and the Lakers are going to get this one.
Okay. Schleck?
I think they're both going to try to lose because the Nuggets clearly have no interest in winning at the beginning of series, and neither do the Lakers.
I said it on the radio, Schlecht. I said the Lakers have to drop the first two games. They can't risk going up 3-1.
No. Can't do it.
No. The Lakers
it's too dangerous.
The Lakers have to trick the Nuggets.
Right.
So,
Oh, man, this is the most psychological warfare we've ever had in this series. I've got feel-out game. I'm going Nuggets in game one.
Yeah. I got to say, This playoff is a lot of fun. The unpredictable nature has really, it's made it a lot more fun to watch for me. You know, I like not necessarily knowing who's going to do what from game to game because the shooting is so crazy. You know, it's been a lot of fun so far.
Oh, it's been awesome. It's been absolutely awesome. All right, that's going to do it for today's show. Don't forget about the other basketball shows across the Athletic Podcast Network. We got the Athletic NBA show, Nerdish She Wrote, coming out on Friday. Dave, what are you guys talking about?
Well, we're going to talk about culture. We're going to talk about chemistry. We preview Nuggets Lakers. And this week's Is This a Thing is actually a thing that we saw tonight, actually. So kind of funny.
All right. There's a little tease. Also, fun point of contention that was out on Thursday for the Athletic NBA show. Check out No Dunks. Check out all the team-specific shows. Don't forget, follow on the app. Get notifications for new episodes. Use the comment section. Check out the Instant React from the briefs and stuff that we're doing during the game. Seth and Dave did fun stuff tonight, so make sure you're checking that out during the games. And if you're not a member of The Athletic, you want to check all that stuff out. TheAthletic.com/DailyDing. It's $1 a month. Thanks for waking up with us or going to bed with us. Well, that's phrasing that's uncomfortable, but you know what I mean. Thanks for listening. Wear a mask, be safe, and Trey, hit me with that sign off.
Ding, ding.